we're gonna start a count. Good luck.
I can't believe that in half an hour, I will be a part of the Laodomas Gaming Dynasty Empire.
Dominion, we prefer Dominion.
I honestly can't wait to be a part of your family.
There's just one more thing. And then you are officially part of the family. So, at midnight, you have to play a game.
Why?
It's just something we do when someone new joins the family.
A game? What game? Hide and seek? Are we really gonna play that?
Well, the rules are simple. You can hide anywhere. We then try to find you.
So there's no way for me to win, right?
And stay hidden till dawn.
No, thank you.
Good luck.
What the hell is this? How old is this thing?
I know you're in here.
Jesus, you shot the maid.
Does she look like she's wearing a giant white wedding dress, Emily?
Holy shit!
I had to play along so that I can get you out.
It's insane.
They think they have to kill you before sunrise, or something very bad will happen to the family.
If we don't find her and perform the ritual, we're all dead.
Found her.
God damn it, Emily!
I don't know what I'm doing!
Today's video is called Getting to Know Your Crossbow.
I forgot my gun.
Why don't you just use mine?
Mr. Laodomas, I just saw her running.
Oh my god!
Oh, help your fucking family!
You're just another sacrifice.
Today we're going to talk about Ready or Not. This horror movie that is quite obviously one of satanic influence here, of the Faustian pact, the Faustian bargain. We're going to talk about all the satanic symbolism in it and how it plays out, how it is part of the Illuminati agenda, of course. There was symbolism in there, I'm sure you caught. Symbolism of Moloch, Baal, Baal, Saturnian stuff. And of course, axioms from the Church of Satan. So, without further ado, let's get into it. And, by the way, there will be plot spoilers, and I will warn you before we start doing that. Now, I'm going to provide a little background info first before we get into the actual film and revealing the symbolism and messages within it. Because Satanism is, in fact, part of the big agenda. If we were to lump in different ideas into this umbrella of what is the Illuminati, of course, Satanism has to play its role. It is part of the left-hand path, and that is the way of the New Age. What is the left-hand path, you ask? Well, it is all about self-deification, man becoming God, and antinomianism, which is embracing the adversary and going against the grain. Another example for the left-hand path, to explain what it is the idea that one can separate from the divine spirit of God, as opposed to the right-hand path, which is all about making union and adhering to God's teachings to one day be absorbed into heaven. Now, Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, was the first to combine the left-hand path philosophies from occult thought leaders like Jurdef, whom we spoke about with, I believe, during the Marjorie Cameron series? I could be wrong. But he was the first to combine these left-hand path philosophies with demonic symbolism and demonic iconography. And the Church of Satan was established to utilize these occult concepts, such as ritual magic, to emphasize the importance of the self over God. Man can achieve great things without God on his own. Man is an independent, free actor to do what he wants. Now, the key here, the key takeaway is the idea that man can achieve the God status or enlightenment on his own without the aid of God in what they call the psychic solitude. The next question you may ask is, well, Isaac, are board games really illuminate? Confirm? Oh, yes, indeed. You better put that game piece down. Hasbro, they were churning out the Ouija boards, if you recall. And guess what they just did? This week, in fact, they bought Death Row Records. Sounds strange? Well, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And if you recall, we tied this together in my hip-hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. Go get it now on Audible, Amazon, wherever you'd like to buy your books. Because there was a man named Michael Harris. I believe his street name was Harry O. He was with the CIA. When the CIA was funding the drug dealers like Freeway Ricky Ross. Not to be confused with the rapper Rick Ross. But Freeway Ricky Ross and Michael Harris, they hooked old Suge Knight, old Sugar Booger Bear up with the lawyer that helped Suge start Death Row. So, I mean, you got 2 degrees of separation between Suge Knight and the CIA there. And Suge mysteriously, somehow, was able to coordinate the release of Tupac Shakur from prison. And part of that deal was to sign him to Death Row for his infamous double album, All Eyes on Me, where you got Tupac on your top 50. Where's Tupac on your top 50 rappers? Is he number one? He might be. My only thing is that we don't know if he would have stayed consistent. All those posthumous albums, I couldn't say I was a huge fan of those. And he was too lyrical for today's trap music. So he might have fell off, honestly. Now, let's stay on topic here. Okay, the board games, we were talking about that. Looking through my notes here. The power of the blood sacrifice. That's one more concept I want to talk to you about before we get into the movie. Because that's what this movie's about, of course. You can tell that from the trailer. Cornelius Agrippa, another occultist, or philosopher, I should say, I guess. He created a series of books on the occult symbolism called De Occulta Philosophia Libri Tres, which means 3 books on the philosophy of the occult. And there's a report you can read on thebat.com, the bat with 2 T's, thebat.com, reports an interesting find, and I've been sitting on this for probably 3 years now. But it's the perfect time to bring it up. I'm going to read to you a couple of passages from the website. In the rare books and manuscripts collection in the Cushing Library lies Marcus Vipsanius's Agrippa. I'm sorry. Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa's De Occulta Philosophia Libri Tres. In fear, as of course, Cornelius Agrippa, his books on the occult. And they basically have symbols and stuff talking about the occult, you know, occult things. In fear of condemnation from the church, Agrippa hesitated before allowing his writings to be published in 1533. Opening the book reveals occult symbols and descriptions for their use, but it also exposes the stories of those who have held it before. Pages corrupted by stains and fading ink stretched the tendencies of readers. During its circulation, the book also gained a note and signature that appears to be written in blood. Baca, a PhD student, said she's particularly interested in the notes found in the book's margins, such as the bloody message and signature. According to Baca, the translation of this message states, "When you have done all that is contained here, I will be at your command." Signed, Beelzebub. Since preserving the book means the page can't be tested, it's unclear whether the message is truly written in blood. However, Baca said the signature Beelzebub, often used as a synonym for the devil, indicates serious occult possibilities. Other surviving copies of this book do not contain such unique and unsettling marks. But not all interactions with books are damaging. Another unique aspect of Agrippa's book is the cover that was changed by an unknown person with unknown intentions. And this gets kind of... Should you not be interested yet, this is where it gets a little more interesting. Cataloger and Italian resources librarian Felicia Piselli said, "This cover contains sacred music. This ironic way of refurbishing a book containing the devil's signature seems almost sacrilegious, but instead adds to the book's mysteries. It looks like whoever covered the book got a couple of pages from a chant book and used it as the cover," Pistelli said. Whether they were trying to make fun of the chant or whether they just thought it looked pretty, I don't know. Well, bye, Felicia. Well, there you go. So, again, people say that these occultists are just embracing some philosophy. They're just heavy thinkers. That even the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, says, you know, hey, we don't really worship Satan. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in such things. Meanwhile, they're doing incantations, calling out all these different forms of the devil and demons. Same as this book. This book about occult symbolism and occult ideas. And it appears someone was doing the blood signature, the Faustian pact, to the devil himself. Now here's where we're going to get into the film. So if you haven't seen it, I think it's a good movie. On my scale, I'd say it was good. It hit the hour and a half mark, which I appreciate. I mean, I'd watch it twice. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, go see it. If you like horror movies, it's good. They use the F word many, many times if you're sensitive to that sort of thing. It actually gets pretty funny the way they do it. But anyway, let's get into the movie. It starts out and it shows us LaBelle's Gambit game and all these variety of board games at this mansion, like family ritual. They're laying the foundation for what is going to happen. And there was also some kind of secret society game. I forget the name of that. I was frantically writing. Shout out Tammy for the pen. Frantically writing in the dark. If I was able to do this at home, you'd get a much more thorough analysis. But I was not able to, obviously. Now, the movie is, of course, about this elitist wasp family named Ladomas. And I'm not sure what that means. I looked it up. In Spanish, that means domes. In Latin, that means control. So, take from that what you will. Control, most likely. And the son of the family is marrying this this woman. I call her No Frills Margot Robbie because she looks like Margot Robbie. But she gets married. They get married, and then, as you can see in the trailer, she has to play a game with the family. And little does she know at the onset that she actually needs to literally survive through the dawn because the whole family is trying to kill her. And, you know, this family is very wealthy from board games. And later you find out it's because of a Faustian pact. And the family is, you know, they're very, look at that escargot, very wealthy. And I'm a sucker for horror movies inside of mansions. House on Haunted Hill, great movie. So they, you know, then that's basically it, is like they're chasing this no-frills Margot all around the mansion all night long. And of course, deaths and insanity pursue. And that is a bit nihilistic. because they put a lot of humor into the deaths. Obviously not a funny thing, but, you know, it's entertainment, right? Now, Grandpa, their great-grandpa in this family, is the one that got the ball rolling. Victor Ledomaz, which you could translate as Victory Control. Victor Control. He signed the original Faustian Pact with the Devil. He got this deal with LaBelle. And if you couldn't put those together, if you've been listening to me long enough, you already know where we're going with that. Baal, of course, is a reference to Baal, B-A-A-L, or Moloch, or Kronos, or Saturn. All these things are these deities that devour children. Going back to Moloch in the desert of the Canaanites, that they would sacrifice their children to for the sake of getting rain on their crops or whatever. Riches in the family sometimes, which makes sense in this movie, right? Now, what was extra curious was that after Victor Ledomaz makes this Faustian pact, he gets a black box, a Saturnian cube, if you will, because, of course, the symbolism for Saturn is the black cube. Now, Saturnian ideas, of course, play into the themes of the movie, because these occultists, and it gets very complicated, very complex, much more smarter than I am, but they say the Saturnian influences give primacy to darkness, and you need darkness for there to be light. Thus, Saturn, the sixth planet from the sun, 666, Saturn represents the adversary, the outermost planet at the time that they were concocting these ideas. They couldn't see any further. It was the adversarial planet. And this embodies the struggle of repulsing forces, repulsion and attraction. And you can get into all sorts of wild stuff with Saturnian influences. You can read from the occultist Gregor A. Gregorius for more on that. And his ideas were of the fraternity of Saturn and, again, a path of self-deification at the end of the path. It's, of course, individualized, much like Aleister Crowley's AA, Silver Star, not to be confused with Alcoholics Anonymous. But yeah, that's why you see these symbols all over the place, and that is why the black cube of Saturn makes its appearance here, and that is why Victor makes the Faustian Pact, and that's what he gets in return. He is on the path of self-deification. And just to clarify, it's not an exact square cube. It's more of a rectangle, but a rectangle is still, in fact, a cube. It's just not a square. But we're not here to talk about geometry. Talk about Satan. Now, in the movie, if you watch it, the family repeatedly warns her about marrying into the family. They're constantly telling her, like, hey, you sure you want to do this? Last chance, you know? And it's emphasizing this idea that she had free will to join. This was her decision to make. And in fact, you even hear someone say, oh, she won't be one of us because she's got a soul. Very curious thing to say because, of course, the Faustian Pact requires one to sign over their soul to the devil in exchange for the goods. And then you hear them say, and I'm going to paraphrase here because, again, I'm writing in the dark. They say something about how, well, some may call it luck, but there's actually a generous benefactor watching over us. Satan, of course. And she has the free will and opportunity to stay alive through the night. And if she does, then what happens? Well, Satan catches some bodies. Everyone in Ledoma's family dies. And she gets to live. And what does this remind me of? Well, there was a man named Alexander Hislop. And in the 1850s, he wrote a book called The Two Babylons. And it talks about Beltane. And some people say that this stuff is made up. Make of it what you will. Because Beltane, of course, the holiday, May Day. Beltane refers to Bel, or Baal, or Baal, or LaBaal in this movie, Moloch, and the fires placed every year at Beltane. What are they for? What did they call upon? It is a ritual. The holidays are, of course, invocations of the holy days. Previously, these days were used to show adoration to the gods, to the deities. I'm going to read you an excerpt from Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons. One piece has been previously blackened, and whoever gets that piece has to jump through the fire in the center of the circle and pay a forfeit. This is in fact a part of the ancient worship of Baal, and the person on whom the lot fell was previously burnt as a sacrifice. Now the passing through the fire represents that, and the payment of the forfeit redeems the victim. Thus, what do we see in this movie? Let me catch you up, and I already warned you about the plot spoilers, right? Okay, because what happens is, you see, what had happened was, she was running away, and some deaths happen. And she almost gets away, but then they gotta kill her. So they get her, and they tie her down to the ritual table because they gotta sacrifice her to the devil before the dawn, okay? In order for Satan to get his blood that he needs. And you hear them repeatedly talk about the rituals, and in fact, if you listen, if you watch it, they talk about the initiation of No Frills Margot. Sorry, I don't remember her name. And we see in the final room, the final chamber, as it were, it is adorned with pentagrams all over the place, of candles. Oh, and then throughout the mansion, you see the checkered floor, of course, right? That's in the Freemason lodges on the floors. Represents the duality stuff. Again, you could take this to the Saturnian ideas. And you hear them in this final room chanting Shem Ham Hamepheresh Sam. Sorry, I can't even do it. See, that's how good of a guy I am. That's how holy I am. I can't even say it. Shem Ham Ephoresh. I heard him saying this in the movie, and I wrote it down because I was like, I heard this somewhere before. What it means, after I looked it up, it's a satanic ritual saying, and it means Hail Satan. And this is, if you read in Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible, which I had read, and that's why it's stuck in the back of my little brain. I'll just read you the passage. Whenever the words Shem Ham Phoresh and Hail Satan are spoken by the person acting as the priest, the other participants will repeat the words after him. The gong is struck following the other participant's response to Hail Satan. So you hear this in the movie, very accurate, then, apparently. Because I don't think they're joking that much. Katy Perry said she sold her soul to the devil. You don't think she would lie to you, do you? I don't think so. Now, the Church of Satan would make sense here because in the movie, man here is just an animal and doing what the animal has to do to survive. And that is one of the doctrines of one of the Ten Commandments, as it were. I think it's called the Nine Statements of the Satanic Bible. Man is just an animal. And that's what you see in the movie. Everyone's just an animal. The husband, who pretended like he was trying to help her, even switches up at the end. Because he's got to live. He's going to die. The whole family dies if she makes it out of there. So they tie up No Frills Margot onto the pentagram. They ask Satan for all these various things. If you listen, and you can even hear it, to the keen ear, you can hear them ask for wisdom. Wisdom. Do you know what that means? Have you been following the teachings of Brother Bill Cooper? Wisdom, of course, or intellect, those are interchangeable here, is the idea that Lucifer is the one to provide man with the intellect, with the wisdom, with the freedom. Anytime you hear these terms, wisdom and intellect, it is a reference to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, to Lucifer, and of course, Satan. And you hear it in the movie. They are asking Satan for the wisdom at the end while they are trying to kill poor No Frills Margot. Now, the film ends But not before No Frills Margot bashes Mama in the head with the Saturnian black cube. She kills Mom with the black cube of Saturn. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you here in about 10 seconds. She makes it out at dawn. Satan catches them bodies. So whoever was left standing there, Ladoma's family, they realize, oh, damn, we didn't kill her. And boom, they all implode. Everyone explodes, and No Frills Margot walks out victorious. And by the way, horror movies, big fan here of the horror movie genre, they are truly the OG granola, alkaline, vegan woke films. People think they're trash, but they're the OG granolas because women have always been the strongest to survive in these movies. Think about it. Think about it. And No Frills Margot, by the way, awesome scream queen. I hope that she continues going into the horror movie genre. Dare I say, the best scream queen. Now, thus, what's the meaning of all this? Well, it was an initiation for No Frills Margot. That's right. Controversial theory, because to the unsuspecting masses, you would watch this film and say, oh, that's great. She made it out. She survived the night, and all these assholes got what they deserved. Satan got his bodies, and she lived. You know, go woman power, right? That's what it seemed like. I'm going to float an idea. I got to watch it again to see if I can find more to support it, because that's what I try to do, is support my own theories with my own findings. No, but what I found curious, like as I was ruminating over this film, they kept saying in the movie, initiation, ritual, there was the game family ritual, and they kept saying that she was the initiate. They kept saying it many times in the film. And I mean, those terms catch my ear, but I didn't think much of it when it comes to No Frills Margot. But when she survives the night, Bale, he shows up in a little hologram form. He nods his head to her. Why does he do that? It didn't really add up to me. So what I thought was, and I'm going to float this theory and you can watch the movie and see what you think. Could it be this was an initiation for her the whole time? Because in the movie, she doesn't kill anyone. Like, she constantly is in these positions where she could kill another person to save her own life, and she doesn't quite do it. She hurts them. She gets away. She doesn't kill them. She is a clean spirit. And then, at the end, she is, right before they tie her down, Mama Ladoma's is trying to kill her, and she whacks her in the head with a Saturnian black cube box, and she's knocked out. But instead of just letting her stay knocked out like she did the previous family members, she loses her mind and bashes her head in and kills her with the black Saturnian cube. Thus, she is now possessed by the spirit of the devil. She had a taste of blood, and she liked it. She even goes out on the front steps and smokes a cigarette and smiles, covered in blood. Covered in the blood of the unholy. So could it be that this was an initiation for her to see if she was willing to murder in a Church of Satan animal is just a man idea? She was in fact willing to kill to survive, because all animals will do what they have to survive and evade. That's my idea. See what you think. Watch the movie. See if you like it. Let me know what you think. Are all my ideas crazy? Am I making things up? Am I looking too deep? I don't think so. I think this is a clear, obvious example of satanic themes and messages and symbols right there in your face. Right there in your face in the horror movies. Now, before I let you go, I am working on a couple shows here. I got more shows on deck. Shows on shows on shows. I got a Kardashian show. Everyone's going to enjoy that. We're going to talk about all those Kardashians. That is in response to the May 2019 Patreon request. I took, like an idiot, I took all these requests, and now I got a billion projects to work on. But they're all great ideas, and they're all worth their own time. So I got a Kardashian analysis on deck. And Epstein. You want to hear about the Jeffrey Epstein and the kids and the stuff? We're going to talk about it, but that, unfortunately, is going to be on the Patreon-only feed. So if you haven't signed up for Patreon yet, go do that, please. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You'll get all the great things. You could even look at an index of all the bonus content you would get. Over 45 bonus content shows. And growing all the time. Number 46 is going to be the Epstein show. Because I don't want to talk about Epstein on the free feed. Because the CIA, I'll keep them away. They don't have $5 to sign for Patreon and listen to it. In the black budget. They won't be able to listen to it. So I'll be safe and you will be too. So go sign up for Patreon and get ready to hear all these cool shows about disturbing topics with your boy Isaac. And until next time, stay woke.